Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, you guys, we got to tell you about Brez Coffee Company.
Made by gamers, for gamers, right here on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida.
No matter what your taste in coffee are, they got you covered. You like light or medium roast? Try the Necro Medium, Holy Grail Light, or Stamina Boost. I like the iCast Fireball mixed flavor, which is a fireball whiskey flavor.
If you like dark roast, like I do, then try the Critical Dark or the Coup Slayer Mocha Roast.
Can't decide what you need for those all-night gaming sessions? Why don't you try one of their specialty sample packs?
All roasts are made with fair trade Colombian beans.
So stop buying that crappy coffee from the grocery store and head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com. That's BrezCoffeeCo.com and enter the code NCR at checkout for 10% off your order. Amazing!
Do you like this show and you want to help support us? Do you want extra episodes every month? Do you want ad-free versions of the show? Then you should sign up over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro, and you'll get your very own RSS feed to put into whatever your podcatcher of choice is, and you'll be first in line for all extra content. So head on over and become a Patreon supporter of this very show.
Programs, and we are back for another edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins, and returning we have,
like a phoenix from the ashes, Derek Diamond.
It's good to have you back, man. It's been almost a month.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we started. It's been, I think, 3 weeks since I've been on the show. I mean, work and life both have been pretty crazy. So
yeah, 2 weeks ago was a last minute call for you not to be here.
Yeah, I had some life emergencies get in the way, but it's good to be back though. No, I've missed doing the show. I know that, you know, you and some few others have been holding down the fort while I've been gone. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. It's fine to hold down the fort with friends, but when you're not here, it's weird. I'm just like, Derek's not here. I don't feel right. It feels wrong.
I like to think the first week or so was like, oh, thank God he's not here.
No, not at all.
Oh man.
So how's everything going? How's the season going with the Wahoos?
Not bad. We're over halfway through. Can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. August is going to be a little rough because we have another back-to-back home series in the middle of the month, which sucks because if that were not the case, we'd be able to do a show on my birthday.
Yeah.
But I unfortunately will have to work then, but once that's done, the team will be on the road for a couple of weeks, so I'll actually have a somewhat normal schedule and then wrap things up in September.
Awesome. And just to let everybody know, too, August 18th, which is Derek's birthday, I'm just going to take that week off. We'll just recharge, play some games, get a backlog of reviews ready to go, and kind of get caught up again. So, we're going to do our commentary track for July pretty soon. And we'll still do the extra episode for August. But just as far as regular episodes go, we're going to be one short on the 18th. So everybody prepare. You'll be fine. We're not pod fading. So just taking the week off.
No, I wouldn't make some type of tease that we would be pod fading, yeah. I'll skip that today.
I wanted to tell everybody too, we've been talking about this for a while. I talked to our friend Jester over at Brez Coffee. We're going to do a giveaway for our patrons, just as a huge thank you, coming up in August, towards the end of I was going to do it on the 18th for your birthday, but we're just going to take that week off. So the week afterwards, we're going to do a prize package that we're going to give away to our listeners. And, Brez Coffee is going to give us a bag of coffee to give away. I am going to be giving away a Monsters Anonymous signed by cast and crew poster, signed by cast and crew, script, t-shirt. And, I think Derek's going to be throwing something in from the Parker Syndrome.
Yep. Still working on that. It'll likely be either like a signed mini poster or a kind of like what you're doing, a signed copy of the script.
And a few other little bits and pieces we're going to throw in there in the prize package. So if you want to be a part of that, everybody's already a patron. You're already in the running. And if you want to win that prize package, go sign up over at Patreon and keep our ship afloat here at the Nerd Cave Retro podcast. Because that definitely helps keep the lights on, pays for our server fees, and basically just helps us do stuff around here and keep us on the air. So go help us out over at Patreon at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And so as far as my week went, what have I been playing? Well, I've been playing a lot of Mike Tyson's Punch Out lately. I've been streaming it and trying to get better. I can get all the way to Sandman, and he cleans my clock every time I get to him.
You to sleep?
Yeah, I don't really know his patterns all that well yet, so I've kind of been practicing him and Soto Popinski. Those are the two that are giving me the most trouble. Then once I get done with those, then I'll move on to Mike Tyson himself and see if I took him down once as a kid using the code to get to him. But I've never actually beaten the game, like, just from beginning to end, like all the way through. So that's kind of my next challenge to myself, is to be able to beat Mike Tyson's Punch Out all the way through. So that's my plan.
Nice. No, that sounds really cool. I recently downloaded the HD version of Skyward Sword. Mm-hmm. When it came out. Been playing through. I haven't made it to the first dungeon yet because I've only been able to play it kind of sparringly.
It's
not bad. The sword combat is a little interesting because it's a port of a Wii game.
Yeah.
So it had all the motion controls and everything. So it's taken a little bit to get used to, but it's not bad. You have to be a little smarter when you're fighting enemies because you can't just hack and slash like you could in Ocarina of Time or Twilight Princess or anything like that. With this, you have to actually kind of be more strategic, which adds a nice element to it. Just the controls itself have taken a little bit to get used to, but what little I've been able to play of it, I've enjoyed it.
Well, to be totally honest, I don't know much about Skyward Sword. I played Twilight Princess, but I never played Skyward Sword, so I don't really know anything about that game. I don't remember seeing any gameplay of it or anything, and I'm interested in playing it, but I want to kind of hear what you think about it first before jumping in, because, of course, after you had gotten Link's Awakening, you know, you definitely talked me into going and playing that one, and that one was fantastic. Such a good remake of that game, which I wish they would do that for Wind Waker 2 also, but I don't know. I really wish they would do a Wind Waker remake. I think that's the next one that needs to be done.
They did one for the Wii U, and I'm surprised that they haven't ported it over.
That's what
I know I wasn't on the show to talk E3, but one of the most shocking things to me was that they didn't announce any type of like Zelda package deal with like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, and Wind Waker.
Yeah, that just seems a no-brainer whatsoever to just port it over. I mean, they ported everything else over from the Wii U.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, they already made an HD version for the Wii U, so you could literally just take that game and put it on the Switch.
Did you see the meme I made yesterday when they announced the Super Nintendo games for the Switch this month?
Yes.
Why? And if nobody knows what we're talking about, they announced yesterday that, hold on, let me look it up real quick. What are the three games that are coming out for it?
The fact that you have to look it up says everything.
I never even heard. The only one I heard remember was Claymates. I remember that one.
Oh, shout out to Joey Image, who's watching.
Ah, Joey Image, what's up, brother?
What's going on?
Yeah, it's Claymates, Jelly Boy, and Bomboozle. Like, what are you doing, Nintendo? Are you just like, do you have a bin of old Super Nintendo games, like in the office, and you just reach in and pull out what you're gonna port for the month? Like, what are you doing?
It's probably just a random thing. They're just like, oh, we'll reach in. Okay, we'll release that one.
Chrono Trigger? Nah. Earthbound? Nah. Nope. Jelly Boy, or whatever it's called. Like, really?
That should be my next review, Jelly Boy.
Yeah, Jelly Boy. What the hell, Nintendo?
Pepsi Man sounds like a better game.
Yeah, I think so. Are you ready to go into the news for tonight?
Yes, sir.
Good friend Armez Jackson emailed us a story. It's from NintendoEverything.com. Dying Light Platinum Edition coming to Switch. The open-world zombie survival game Dying Light will soon be making its first ever appearance on the Nintendo platform. It's been revealed that Techland will release Dying Light Platinum Edition on the system this October. You'll be getting a whole bunch of content. Aside from the main game, 4 main DLCs and 17 skin packs are included. Also, support for HD Rumble, gyro aiming, motion controls, touchscreen, and local online co-op. I'm kind of excited about this. Love me some zombie games.
Yeah, no, I haven't played too many of these, but this game does sound really cool.
Joey Image said, I've been called Jelly Boy based on my gut. that's your new nickname now. I'm calling you Jelly Boy from now on.
Jelly Boy. Yeah, it looks like it's got some cool features, too. It's got the full game, an expansion complete with new story, a vast original map, and a customizable buggy to drive. The Bozak Horde game mode with its own side story, 2 additional quarantine zones, exclusive weapons and outfits, a madcap cosmetic pack, and a new game mode in a dark fantasy setting. So it sounds like it's going to be worth the money with all these bonus features.
Jelly Image. All right, I got to stop looking at the chat room right now. It says the Platinum Edition will be sold physically and digitally for $49.99. That's not bad. And the box copies come with a map, survival guide, and stickers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to pick this up and maybe do some streaming of this in October. This sounds like a perfect October game to stream and
yes,
review.
Yes, it does. Yeah, for sure. No, I'd love to check this out myself as well.
This looks so cool. I dig the cover art too, because like I said, I just got done with Joey, what's the name of the game that you got me playing, the zombie motorcycle game? Why can't I keep thinking Just Cause, but it's not Just Cause. Days Gone, jeez. I just finished Days Gone not too long ago, which Holy crap, what a good game. If you never played Days Gone, Derek, you need to get on Days Gone, dude. It's so good.
After baseball's over.
Okay. that should be your holidays game to play.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Our next story comes to us from I Am the Rampage. This comes from gamesradar.com. I'm so happy I'm on the show to talk about this, by the way, because I was like chomping at the bit.
I know. That's why I gave you this story. I was like, I'll let him have this one.
Nintendo denies another Switch revision is being planned. It also denies claims of a wider profit margin for the Nintendo Switch. Do you call it OLED or OLED?
I call it the OLED because it's just so much easier to say.
Agreed. I call it OLED as well. Nintendo has denied reports of another planned Switch revision, as well as reports claiming wide profit margins for the Switch OLED model. Earlier today, on July 19th, the Nintendo corporate Twitter account issued the statement below. The statement, directed at both the company's audience and their investors, denies that the Switch OLED will have an increased profit margin over the original Nintendo Switch, and also denies that another Switch revision is being planned. It's highly out of the ordinary for Nintendo to comment on speculative and unconfirmed reports. Ordinarily, the company would either ignore a request for comment or simply respond with no comment, which that was kind of my thought, too, is that they normally don't comment at all on stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I thought that alone was interesting. But here's the thing about the OLED model. Why?
Yeah. Well,
To an extent, I get it.
It's just an upgrade to an existing model. It's not like it's...
Yes.
You know, it's not like it's a new system or... This is to capture the people that haven't gotten a Switch yet. And this would kind of push them over the edge to be like, oh, okay, well, it's got a better screen. You know, it's got a little bit more battery life. I'll go ahead and pick one of these up. It's for those people. The people that already have a Switch like me, I don't give a crap about upgrading to it because it's not worth the price to upgrade. I'm perfectly happy with the Switch version 2 that I have now. Like, I'm perfectly happy with it. But I think it's a little too early to come out with a new system. But I don't know. The Switch numbers are not hurting. They don't really need to have a whole new system come out, and yet Joey did get a Steam Deck reserve. I'm really interested in the Steam Deck myself.
I am too.
It's very, very tempting, and I need a new computer. So, because I've been looking into a gaming computer anyway. Me and Joey were actually talking about this a week ago. I wanted to maybe build my own PC, gaming PC. Okay. And it would be, you know, cheaper than buying one, and I could do it slowly and buy it piece by piece, put it together myself. But with this thing, the Steam Deck, it's like I would have that thing's more powerful than most computers that are out now, and I could do whatever I want with it. I can put Windows on it. I could play you could put Game Pass on it. You can hack it to hell and back and do whatever you want with it. Like, why would you not want to get one?
Exactly. Yeah, when that story broke, I was like, I need one of those, like, right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I might put my $5 down and reserve one for next year because it'll be almost 2023 before I could even get my hands on one, probably.
Yeah.
Because they're booked up to halfway through next year anyway.
Yeah. But my just quick thoughts on the Switch OLED model. I agree with you in the sense that it's for those who haven't, like, might be on the fence about getting a Switch, and it might push them over the edge too. But I already have one, so unless you're going to do like a fully new Switch with, you know, vastly improved graphics, vastly improved battery life, whatever they're going to do with the next one. And I also think they should call it the Super Nintendo Switch.
They should. And because, you know, I mean, what would, you know, the Switch is kind of a dumb name. I mean, it's dumb, but it's not. But Nintendo's always kind of had weird names, you know, starting
like
with
the Wii
and the Wii U, and then the Switch. Why not? Yeah, just call it Super Switch. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Bethany Fox has joined us, our community manager, who will be taking over for Mr. Derek Diamond next week on the show.
Oh, and Joey also says Days Gone is more important than baseball. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
This next story also comes from Armez Jackson. And this is cool because I just played this and reviewed it not too long ago from NintendoEverything.com. Streets of Rage 4 Mr. X Nightmare DLC footage has emerged for it. The game's latest DLC. And there's a YouTube video of the gameplay here. It is live on most platforms, but Switch players will need to wait just a bit longer due to an unforeseen issue, which I haven't read about. Let me click this little link and see what the issue is. Let's see. Mr. X Nightmare DLC delayed. The game is now at version 1.0.6. It still doesn't say why the Nintendo Switch has to wait. I wonder what the holdup is. Because it's available now, and if you've played Streets of Rage 4, holy crap, what a good game that was.
It looks great. Yeah, I know you talked about it a few weeks ago. I've watched quite a bit of gameplay from it. It looks great.
It's actually out now, the DLC, which I may go get that DLC because I want to play that. But it says that it should only be a couple of days for the issue to be resolved, so... Hopefully
that's not too bad.
They'll get that worked out soon.
Yeah. This next story comes to us again from I Am the Rampage. From GameRant.com, a canceled Sega Saturn Resident Evil game unearthed. Sega's ill-fated Saturn console may have lagged behind its competition in North America, but that wouldn't stop popular PlayStation games from being ported to the Saturn. Capcom treated the system especially well, but recently it was revealed that one major port never saw release on the Saturn. A user on the Internet Archive uploaded a scan of Saturn Fan Number 20, a Japanese magazine dedicated to the Saturn and its then upcoming releases. This 1997 issue is somewhat special as it lists a number of Saturn games that never saw a release on the system, including an entry in the Resident Evil series. The Saturn is infamous for its canceled Sonic game Sonic Extreme, but a significant amount of third-party support is seen in the list, including Capcom's Resident Evil, known as Biohazard in Japan. And it's got an interesting list here. Got a Guilty Gear, Biohazard 2, Virtua Fighter 3.
I'm wondering what the Spielberg's director's chair is.
I know. That's very intriguing. Like, how would you make a game about that?
I don't know. X2. Is that X-Men related? Was X-Men out at the time that the Saturn was out?
See, X2 came out in 03. So the Saturn would have been done by then because the Dreamcast was already out.
Oh.
So that's weird. But I love hearing stories about this, about, you know, games that never saw the light of day. I don't know if part of it was made or what, but it's still pretty cool.
I'm sure it'll pop up somewhere every week. This is like the first week in a year there hasn't been some unearthed, demo of some game or stuff that just never got released that somebody finds like in a garbage can under a tree somewhere.
Yeah, that's. I'd love to see if something, like if this game was partially made, and I'd love to see some footage from it, if that's the case.
Yeah. Our last story tonight comes from, of course, Armez Jackson, who makes my job so much easier here. He's always sending in cool articles every single week. And Rampage, too. Between those two, I don't have to do much work for this show anymore.
Yeah.
This is from NintendoLife.com. Evercade's Renovation Collection 1 will bring a dozen rare games to the system. The Evercade is a rather intriguing physical-only handheld that we liked in our review last year. While a home console iteration that supports a multiplayer, Evercade VS is coming soon. In a little over a year, the system has built up a unique collection of physical cart releases and bundles that has certainly attracted an eager audience of retro enthusiasts and collectors. let's see, Renovation Collection 1. The cart will have 12 games originally published by Telenet Japan and also Renovation in the U.S. They never made it to Europe via either publisher, but Blaze Entertainment has teamed up with Edea Company Limited for the official rights to bring the collection together. Full list of games is below. Arcus Odyssey, Beast Wrestler, Dino Land, El Viento, Exile, Final Zone, Guiares, Grenada, or Granada, however you pronounce it, Sol Deche, Trasia, Valis, The Phantasm Soldier, and Valis 3. They're all from the 16-bit era, with only Arcus Odyssey seemingly making it to the Super NES. So this is quite a little collection of games that's going to be coming from them. I might have to see if there's a demo or whatever, because I've never played any of these games, but if they're from the Super Nintendo era, I'm definitely interested.
Yeah, sign me up.
I'm down. I'm down.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it.
I do too.
But now we're about to do something we haven't done in 3 weeks. We're going to do some video game history. July 27th of 1989, Nintendo releases Mother in Japan, the first of a trilogy of role-playing games produced by celebrity writer Shigesato Itoi, when in America, it's known as Earthbound, which
as
we will
Earthbound.
Never see.
Never see again. No, so Nintendo actually did something really cool for the Wii U. They released the original Mother as Earthbound Beginnings. Mm-hmm. On their virtual console, and it wasn't as fun to me as Earthbound, which in Japan is Mother 2. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Earthbound is to me one of the greatest RPGs ever made, but it was still cool going back and kind of seeing the beginning of that franchise. And I'm still waiting for Mother 3 to eventually come out in the US, because it never has for some reason or another. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I would love to play it, but it just hasn't been released.
Yeah. Joey Image asked me, have I played Wallachia yet? And yes, I did. I got it for the Switch when it came out last year. I think I reviewed it. I have to go back through the archives and see what episode that was. I think it was last summer or whenever it was released. I got it as soon as it was released. I think they gave us a code, too, that I gave away on the show.
I believe you're right. I can look at the archive real quick.
Yeah, that's a really good game. It's sort of a, if nobody's ever played it, it's like a more kind of realistic version of Castlevania. If you're into the Castlevania sort of story, like with, you know, Vlad Dracula, you're actually going up against, like, you know, the dude that was actually based on, they based Dracula on, like, Vlad Dracul or whatever his name was. Like, he's like the main bad guy. So yeah, I played it. It's great.
Yeah, that was released. That episode was November 12th of last year.
Yeah. That was a great game.
Which is also my fiance's birthday.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Freddy versus All has joined us in the chat room.
Welcome.
And he said, yep. Mother 2 and Mother 3 are the better ones.
Yeah, I really want to play Mother 3 at some point.
They never put that in America, though, did they? They never ported that over, did they?
Mm-mm. Hmm. No, for some reason or another, they never did. I remember there was originally going to be an Earthbound 64 for the N64, but it was canceled. Because I remember there was like a story on it in Nintendo Power. Or it might have been some other gaming magazine, too. But I remember it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And then it just was never completed. July 31st of 1989, Nintendo releases the Game Boy handheld console in the United States.
It had
very minor success.
Yeah.
But no, I have very fond memories of playing the Game Boy, you know, on summer trips, playing Tetris, Super Mario Land, that entire trilogy. The Donkey Kong Land games were a lot of fun. A lot of fun games for the Game Boy. It's crazy to think that it was released in 89, because I always think of it as, like, you know, around the time of the Super Nintendo, like 91, maybe 92. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was around for, that thing lasted 13 years, I think. to like 2002. So that thing had the lifespan on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was around as long as the PS2.
That's nuts. I still wish I had my old Game Boy.
I know I still have mine somewhere. I just don't know where it is.
I found one when we went to a flea market a few weeks ago, and they had one at some like, you know, random shop or whatever, but like it was just in terrible condition. Yeah. So there was no way I was going to get it, but I was like, oh, I remember these things.
I found a new shop at the Mobile flea market. Guy had some Nintendo Advance that I want to go get. I think he was only asking like $40 for it. Each one. He had like five of them. He was like $40 a piece. Like, I may have to come back and get one of these.
Yeah. I need to go to that Mobile flea market again.
They got some new stuff over there. It's nice.
Yeah.
Let's see. July 27th, 1990. One of my favorite games, Nintendo released Dr. Mario for three Nintendo platforms. I still, to this day, and thank God they put it on the Switch, on the NES shop. I play Dr. Mario all the time. That is probably in my top three just go-to games, just to sit and play. I know I'm in a minority here, but I like Dr. Mario way better than I like Tetris. And I'm surprised they haven't done like a Dr. Mario 99 yet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, you're right. I haven't ever thought of that. A Dr. Mario 99 would be insane.
It's perfect for it.
Yeah, no, it is. And I haven't played Dr. Mario as much as you. I was, you know, more of a Tetris fan. Mm. But it's one of those games that you can just pick up, and next thing you know, an hour and a half's gone by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that game just sucks you right in. And it's similar to Tetris, but it's different enough to where it's not like a carbon copy.
Yeah.
Which I like. But yeah, Dr. Mario 99 would be fantastic.
Yeah, Joey said his wife is in love with Dr. Mario games. She used to play it with her mom when she was young. So next time I come up there, me and her will just have to sit and play Dr. Mario for a few hours, because I love that game. Like, it's you can't get... A lot of people hate it, and I don't know why. They get offended if you like it and you don't say anything about Tetris. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Tetris, but something about Dr. Mario, man, that music, like, gets stuck in your head, and like, and you're just like trying to kill all the viruses. I'm like, it's just awesome. And I know he's got, you know, he's already been a plumber. How did he get his doctorate? Like, that's all I want to know. Did he have time to go get his doctorate between saving the princess and saving the Mushroom Kingdom?
Maybe they'll tell that story one day. Yeah, I remember when Dr. Mario was announced as a character in Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And whenever you, because you have to fight him to unlock him like you do with all the other characters, and you heard that that music, and I'm like, oh, this takes me back.
Yes, Bethany, there is a Bomberman 99. It came out, what, like about a month or two ago?
Yes.
I haven't played it yet. I was never that great at Bomberman.
I had the Wario versus Bomberman game for the Game Boy, and I was pretty bad at it.
You reviewed that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That sounds really familiar.
Yep, I did.
Yeah, I was never a huge Bomberman fan. Something about that, I like games like Dig Dug and things like that, but Bomberman just kind of never tickled my fancy.
Joey also points out he has his referee license too for Punch-Out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. he's a referee, he's a doctor, he's a plumber, he's a professional golfer. You know, yep. Like
professional tennis player, professional
tennis
soccer
player. He's a go-kart driver. Like, there's nothing a dude can't. It's the mustache, man. All the power is in the mustache.
The stash is king. Which, speaking of Mario, on July 14th, 1993, one of my favorite games for the Super Nintendo, Super Mario All-Stars, is released in Japan. It featured upgraded 16-bit versions of the first four Super Mario games, and also for the U.S. version featured the debut of The Lost Levels, which was just Mario Brothers 2 in Japan.
Joey says, Mario is Arnold, Luigi is Danny DeVito. I would actually watch a Twins... if they took the Twins like movie script and just put like made an animated Mario and Luigi movie out of it, I would watch the hell out of that.
Oh, for sure. That would be fantastic.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But yeah, Super Mario All-Stars is one of the absolute must-haves for any person collecting for the Super Nintendo. It has to be in your at least top 10 must-have games for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, 100%. It's four games in one.
Yeah, you can't beat it. And plus, yeah. the like, Super Mario Brothers 2 and 3, like, one looks great on there, but 2 and 3 just look absolutely gorgeous.
I remember as a kid being blown away by the backgrounds, and especially Mario 2.
Mm-hmm. Mario 2 still looks great on the NES. But then you add background, like scrolling backgrounds to it and bump it up to 16-bit. And it's absolute just gorgeous, that game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Two more. We got July 5th, 1996. Night into Dreams is released for the Sega Saturn.
So this is a game that I really want to play at some point. Because when I think of nights, there was actually a comic book miniseries done by Archie Comics, who also did the Sonic comic book at the time.
Yeah, this looks really familiar. I think I remember seeing these comic books out at the time.
Yep, and Knights also made an appearance in Sonic Adventure when you're in the Casinopolis zone. There's a Knights into Dreams pinball mode that you can play, because you have to like do pinball and other like arcade games to get enough rings to get the Chaos Emerald that's in the casino. And one of those is Knights themed. And once you, if you earn a certain amount of points or you collect a certain amount of rings, you go through Knights's like universe and you see him like flying around and everything. So I don't know a ton about the Knights game. Like, I know the very basic story. I know it has to deal with dreams and nightmares and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never had the Saturn, so I never got the chance to play it. But
I mean, it's been redone several times. I mean, it was out for the Sega Saturn, PlayStation 2, Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 3, and the Xbox 360.
Yeah, so, oh yeah, and they did a sequel for Christmas? The Wii in 2007. So I eventually want to play it.
Yeah, there's one called Christmas Nights.
Yeah, released in December of 96. I had no idea that was a thing.
That looks awesome. I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah. Yeah, I really want to, again, once, you know, my schedule lightens up a bit, I really want to check it out.
Yeah.
It's definitely on my list to review in the fall, for sure.
Last one is yours, sir.
Oh, yeah. July 29th. Got so caught up in nights, I just lost focus. July 29th of 2001, 20 freaking years ago, Pokemon Crystal is released for the Game Boy Color in North America, which is basically, so when Red and Blue were originally released in the States, there was then a third version released called Pokemon Yellow, which that one adapted more elements from the anime. But it was one that kind of had a combination of, like, so there are certain Pokemon you can only catch in red, and there are certain ones you can only catch in blue. Yellow is kind of the same thing, but that started the trend of that third version being released. That's a little bit of a hybrid of the two. and Crystal was the yellows, like basically to gold and silver, what yellow was to red and blue.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, you. This was squarely for your age range, and I was already aged out of it. Because I remember seeing, like, when Pokemon exploded, especially, like, you went to Toys R Us, and the game section was just... It looked like Pokemon vomited all over the shelves. It was just nothing but yep. Pokemon stuff, and I was so not into it.
Yeah, I think I was, like, right on the edge of... Yeah, because I remember thinking, am I maybe a little too old for Pokemon? Because I think I was... when did Pokemon originally come out? I want to say it was 96. So I would have been...
It was in Japan for years before it came over here.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Oh, it was released in 96 in Japan. And it was released in 98 in the States. So I would have been 12 when it came out in the States. So I was like maybe... a little too old for it, but I still played it and still very much enjoyed it. I broke out my 3DS not too long ago and was going through all the games I had downloaded for it, and one of them was Pokemon Yellow.
Oh.
So I've been playing it as well. I've kind of been back flipping back and forth between that and Skyward Sword.
That's cool. Freddy vs. All said the first time you can play as a female character was in Crystal.
Yep, I forgot about that. But
I did not know that.
That is true.
All right.
But yeah, well, that wraps up this month in video game history.
Before we go into the review for tonight, I'm going to, as tradition, we're going to let Derek do the shout-outs tonight.
So as always, we'd like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out Axeblade07, Daniel Salmon, John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster, Hand Solo, Carlos Longoria, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Tyler Watson, Brandon Rutledge, Gus and Penny, and Matthew Salmon. Thank you guys so much for your continued contributions to the Nerd Cave Retro Show. Keeping the lights on for us, if you will. And we will be doing another commentary track, hopefully this weekend. We haven't quite decided what we're going to do yet, but regardless of what we do, it's always a fun time. Yeah. I've never left a commentary track we've done and said that was terrible.
Have you?
Some of the things we watched have been terrible.
Have you gotten a chance to watch the new Resident Evil series on Netflix yet?
I have not.
I'm about 4 episodes in and I'm not enjoying it.
I've read very mixed things about it.
Because I was thinking that would be perfect for us to do a commentary track for because it's so new. But I don't even know if I want to do a commentary track for it. It's kind of boring.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack us.
No, I mean, it would be one thing if it were bad, because then we'd at least have fun doing
the
commentary.
Yeah, it's not even
track, but...
like good bad. It's just so meh. Like, there's nothing special about it.
That sucks. That really sucks. But regardless of what we do, we'll have a fun time. And also, for new Patreons, if you want to send us your social media info, either on Twitter, Facebook, or email, or Patreon, so we can give you a proper shout-out. But if you want to vote on show topics and be a part of our awesome community, just head on over to patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro.
And tonight, Derek is talking about... music right there.
It is. Before we dive in, I got to give a shout out to Joey Image, who says he's a new Patreon as of 10 seconds ago.
Sweet!
So, shout out to our newest Patreon.
Yes.
Mr. Joey Image.
Welcome aboard, sir.
We love Joey Image here on the Nerd Cave Retro Show. But what I'm going to be talking about this week is a game that I've now spent fairly extensive time with, and that is Kid Chameleon, which is a 1992 platform game developed and published by Sega, released for the Sega Genesis. I've been playing it on the Sega Genesis Mini, which now that I've spent extensive time with it, and I can't believe I'm saying this, when it comes to like the mini consoles that have come out, I think the Sega Genesis is the best one.
I think so too. But I haven't played this on it yet. I've had it for, what, a year and a half now? 2 years, and I still haven't played Kid Chameleon yet. I don't know why I never got around to playing it.
Well, and I was looking for a good platform game to play, and I wanted to do something that wasn't Nintendo related. So I literally just Googled, you know, good Sega Genesis games or the best Sega Genesis games or something like that. And this is one that came up, and I was like, okay, it looks pretty cool. The graphics look pretty good, and it's on the Genesis Mini. So I've been playing it fairly extensively, and essentially what the story is, and the story is like straight out of a 90s movie or a 90s series. And that is, so you go to this, the arcade's not listed, which sucks, but basically this arcade machine is like absorbing kids.
It's called Wildside.
Wildside, yep. I just pulled it up here. So basically Wildside is like this new arcade game. And if you lose, then the machine is technically like takes your, like sucks you in or whatever. So you play as Kid Chameleon to try and rescue everyone.
Tron, much and, anyone?
Exactly. I was like, where are you, Jeff Bridges? Yeah. I haven't found the Jeff Bridges cameo, which is very disappointing. But as far as the gameplay, it plays pretty much like any platformer that you would expect from that era.
Does he have a skateboard?
Not that I've seen, but...
Well, they put him on a skateboard on the cover, and it seems like if you're going to put a skateboard on the cover, that should be part of the game.
Yeah, so the cool thing about this game is that you do get several different outfits that you wear, because like you play as, you know, normal Kid Chameleon, and pretty much jump is your only attack, and your health isn't very... very high. Like, you don't have much health.
I just read the name of the final boss, Heady Metal.
Right.
I could go bad places with that, but I won't.
That sounds like the name of like a 2000s metal band.
It's Headley.
Headley Metal. But no, you get various different outfits. Like, you get a samurai outfit. You basically collect different helmets that give you different abilities. So you get like a samurai helmet. You get one that's pretty Jason Voorhees-ish, mm-hmm. like to the point where I would have been like, I might send them a cease and desist. Because literally, you have the hockey mask, and I think you have a small axe that you use.
So a little bit of Splatterhouse in there too.
Little bit. You get, I don't know exactly what you would call it, but you get a helmet with horns on it that gives you kind of the powers of a rhino, where you can run through, you know, weak walls and things like that. But it's, the gameplay itself is actually pretty fun. But the crazy thing about this, and this is probably my biggest gripe with the game is actually huge. There's a grand total of 103 levels.
Wow.
Which is insane for a game of that era.
Does it have any kind of save system, or is it the dreaded
password system?
Yeah, the password system.
I believe it's been several days since I played it, but with the Genesis Mini, you have the ability to save and load however you want. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
Okay.
But,
It does say right here. It said, despite the game's considerable length, there was
no password system or other method of saving the game.
Ew. But at least with the Genesis Mini, you can create save states. So,
yeah. Basically, the deal with the levels is this. So you go through each level and you can find teleporters that will take you to different paths, which will then end the level at different points besides its, you know, standard ending.
Okay.
So you can go on different paths. But the problem with that is a lot of the levels feel the same.
Yeah.
And you played the music at the beginning of the segment, but there's not a lot of variety in the music either. It's like you get the same 2 to 3 tracks that play. So there's not a lot of variety in that. And I know that might be a little nitpicky, but as someone who loves video game music, that's always something that I look for.
Yeah, that's always something that I always appreciated, especially even, you know, way back then in, you know, the NES era, the Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo. If you had a game and you had a music for each, like different music for each level. And that was what I love so much about like Ninja Gaiden. You mm-hmm. rarely ever heard the same music twice throughout the game. Like each level had its own theme. And I loved it when games did that, because there were a lot of games out there that just played the same song over and over again.
Yeah, and that's kind of the same thing with Kid Chameleon. Now, I do like the graphics and the kind of the character design, because it reminds me a little bit of, I think South Park would be the right way to describe it. Because you know how the, well, I say that in the, you know how the characters have like their giant heads and small bodies. That's kind of, if you look at Kid Chameleon, when you're playing the game, his head is really big and his body is kind of small. And even the enemies are like that too.
I just had a thought in my head of what if you gave Cartman the, it's called the Berserker helmet you were talking about, with a horn helmet, uses his horns as a weapon to charge up, destroying enemies that blocks his way. I could imagine that being something Cartman would use in the game.
I just think of the song from Clerks.
Yeah.
Berserker.
My love for you is like a truck.
Berserker. Yeah, so the different power-ups you have the Iron Knight, which is you're able to climb walls.
Joey finished that line in the chat room.
I won't repeat that on air.
Yeah, you have to go watch Clerks. Ask your cool uncle.
Yeah, exactly. You have Red Stealth, which is your samurai power-up. Berserker, we mentioned. You have the Maniacs, which is, I call it Jason Voorhees. My favorite one, though, is the Juggernaut.
And I'm the Juggernaut, it's not, bitch.
No, it's not like the Mutant from X-Men. But you get to drive a tank, which is really cool. You have Micromax, which is, you're basically a fly. You have Iclops, Sky Cutter, which you get like a hoverboard, so that's kind of the same as the skateboard we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Cyclone helmet, which you're able to fly. So you get a pretty good variety of power-ups. And I still think the Red Stealth and Juggernaut are my two favorites. But, and when you get the helmets, you get more health. But the problem is whenever you are depleted, you go back to being Kid Chameleon and you have like one bar of health. So you gotta be kind of smart whenever you're playing through these various levels. But it's not a bad game. I did enjoy playing it. I wouldn't call it, you know, one of my favorite platformers I've ever played. I feel like, and I've said this before about different games like this on the show, if this was a game that I grew up playing, I would probably love it. But I don't have that nostalgic feel when I play it. And don't get me wrong, I did like playing it because I like games of that era, and it reminded me of being a kid sitting at, you know, my parents' house or my uncle's house playing Genesis or Super Nintendo. But it's not bad.
Well, this is definitely one of those Genesis games, and when I think of the Genesis, even though I've never played it, you know, it was just kind of one of those flagship games for the Genesis back in the day. There was a lot of advertising for it. Every time you saw, you know, a Genesis ad, there was Kid Chameleon, you know, either a screenshot or something. You go to the store, it's like one of the most prominent games, you know, set right there next to the Genesis. So it was, you know, it was a very prominent game for the Genesis. And I remember this game back in the day, but like you said, I never played it, so I don't really have any kind of nostalgia for it, but I would like to go back and fire the old Genesis Mini up and give it a whirl.
Yeah, you should. I think you would enjoy it. I feel like you'd probably feel about it the same way I do, that it's not a bad game. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, and Freddy versus All mentioned it in the chat, it has vibes of Kirby, where you get different abilities that you can use.
Yeah, and I love Kirby.
Kirby's fun.
And it's weird, because I never played Kirby back then either. I thought it looked like a kid's game. And then I played it for the review last year, a year before, and I was like, man, I missed out on a really good game.
Oh, Kirby's great. Yeah, I believe it's Kirby's Dream Land 3 is on the SNES store mm-hmm. on the Switch. So I've played that a little bit as well. So, no, Kirby's fun. But Mega placed the game at number 35 in their top Mega Drive games of all time, and Retro Sanctuary placed the game at number 31 in their top 100 Mega Drive games of all time.
Wow.
Megatech Magazine said it was let down by the lack of challenge. And yeah, I don't disagree with that. You know, it did feel kind of monotonous going through the levels at times, but I think that also has to do with the fact that they all kind of felt the same.
Yeah, maybe it's a little too long.
Yeah, paper, it sounds cool that they put over 100 levels in the game, but if you're not going to try and, you know, vary it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think maybe they sacrificed, you know, a little bit of creativity and maybe some, a little bit of, I don't know, like, would you rather have a shorter game that's a little more difficult, or would you rather have an easy game that's long but monotonous?
Yeah.
So kind of a trade-off there.
I think maybe if you cut the levels in half, you'd still have an impressive number for that era. And they could have focused on making it a little more challenging and varying up the level design a little bit, where you don't feel like, you know, it's the same thing with just maybe a slightly different background and slightly different music.
Hmm. Well, I'll give it a try. Like I said, I haven't played my Genesis Mini in a while, so I need to fire it up and play some stuff on it.
You should. And I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say probably a 6.5. 6.5. Well, yeah, I'll say 6.5. I was going to go up to 7, but we'll say 6.5.
Not great, not bad, just kind of right there in the middle.
Yeah, it's fun. If you're a fan of the platforming genre, I definitely check it out, but it was all right.
Yeah.
Is how I would describe it.
Well, awesome. Like I said, Derek is not going to be here next week. So, our community manager, who is in the chat right now, Bethany Fox, will be joining me on the show, and I'm not sure he's going to be reviewing something, and I'm not sure what it is yet. He hasn't let me know, but I did a Patreon poll about a month ago. I haven't had to review anything for a while, but I'm going to do Lost Vikings. Lost Vikings won the Patreon poll, so my next review is going to be Lost Vikings, so I think it might be the week after.
Nice.
Next week.
Yeah, and that'll be the first week of August, so I should be back for that show as well.
Yeah, and I'm excited about Lost Viking, because Joey Image said in the, I knew he would get it in the chat room. It's one of the very first games by Blizzard, who is known for World of Warcraft and Diablo. This was a very, very early title for them. I think their very first game they ever made for the Super Nintendo. So I'm excited to play it. I'm going to stream it, too. Hopefully I can do it this weekend, but if not, definitely maybe next Monday night I'll be able to stream it.
Fantastic.
So awesome. Anything else you'd like to throw out there before we leave this week?
Just as always, check out the Derek Diamond Experience podcast. New episodes drop every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast, as well as YouTube. You can follow the show on social media at D Diamond Podcast. I'll be probably posting the thread either tonight or tomorrow. I'll be doing top 5 movie twists.
Oh, so that's a good sure top to, 5.
Be sure to, and I'm going to be recording it on Friday. So okay. Just be on the lookout on social media for that. And it should be a good one. So the Patreon's picked a good top 5.
That is good. So,
be on the lookout for that. And yeah, just as always, check out the show.
Awesome. Did you ever play Pokemon? Bethany said he's thinking Pokemon Mystery Dungeon DX, because it's a remake of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Red and Blue Rescue Team.
So I've heard a lot about those games, but I've never played any of them. So I'll look forward to hearing what he has to say about it next week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to me, because I've never played anything Pokemon in my life. So every time you guys review something Pokemon, it's new to me. But before we go, go check out my other podcast, the Open Micers Podcast, at Open Micers on Twitter and Open Micers Podcast on Facebook. We've been having some really good guests. We just talked to, last week, we talked to Kevin Special K. Harris, who is one of the founders of The Sound. They have a new app that they just put out, and they're one of the biggest, internet radio for unsigned bands. And that's pretty much, I mean, they do play some signed band stuff, but they've become big enough at this point where they're getting whatever they spin, whatever they play on their app gets counted to the charts and all that stuff. Like they have to fill out paperwork for the stuff they played and it gets counted. So that's a big, big deal. So if you want to learn about some new bands that you've never heard of before, go check out that episode and check out The Sound's app. But you can go to thesound228.com to go check that out too. And it's a pretty good episode. Go check that out. And that's going to be it for this week. So anything else you forgot before we walk out the door?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
It was so good having you back this week.
It was. It was good to be back. This felt right.
It was like slipping into the Falcon, you know, with I'm Chewie and you're Han Solo. And you got, you know, finally got you out of the carbonite and we're flying off of Tatooine and, you know, everything's right with the world.
To steal a quote from The Force Awakens, you tell him Han Solo just took back the Millennium Falcon.
I need to get a clip of that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. This remind me to get a clip of that this weekend for the end of the show.
You can play it for whenever I have to come back at the end of August.
Awesome. Well, let me pull up our notes here before I get lost and play our music. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Any cool articles you find or anything you want to talk to us about, send it on over to our email. You can also find us at nerdcaveretro.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. And, of course, Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro and individually at jfantastic and at Derek_diamond. Go get our merch. Everything right now is 35% off for the next, 2 weeks. Go get whatever you need right over there at ncrmerch.com. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Help support the show, and you get those commentary tracks every month. And, of course, you can't do that. Leave us a review wherever podcasts are given away for free. So Derek, please, tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Wise man say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.